So this morning's reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, thank you for all that you have prepared in Phil to say this morning. Holy Spirit, please take him, take his thoughts, take his preparations, and be speaking through him so that each one of us hears exactly what you have for us as you have prepared in us already. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mick. Thank you, Ted. Okay. I wonder if you have a good memory. I don't have a very good memory. I speak to people who are quite a bit older than me and they say, oh, at my age, you know, you keep forgetting things. And I think at my age, I forget things. I'm hoping I'll have the reverse and actually my memory will get better as I get older, but I'm doubting that's going to happen. That's just me being positive. Maybe you can remember the 15th of January when we did church a little bit differently. We met in here and had a brief service. Then we went through for coffee and then we came back and the chairs were all in circles and we spent time, children, adults, everybody, thinking about how we grow as a church. We asked some questions. One of the questions was, in what ways are we already growing? Another of the questions was about how do we think God wants us to grow? And the final question was, if you were to sum up the vision of the church, the kind of purpose, the real heart of what St. Andrew's is about, in just a few words, what would those words be? If just two or three words. You might remember the story that Malcolm told about the man who was a cleaner, a kind of janitor cleaner at the space station. And when they were getting ready to put a man on the moon, there was a visit and some important visitor asked this cleaner as he was sweeping up in one of the back rooms, you know, what's your job here? What's your role here? And the man said, my role is to help get a man onto the moon. And the idea that there's this brief kind of summary of what we're about that everybody can get on board with, that everyone can say together, you know, whether I'm cleaning the toilets or I'm out telling people about Jesus on the high street, together we are all doing this thing. We're part of this thing called St. Andrew's. And in order to get there, we asked people that question, what few words would you choose? And here are some of them. There were lots and lots. Here's some of them. Some of the few words that people came up with. Grow with God. That was one of them. Let's grow together. Moving on with God. There was one, I'm going to have to try and explain it, and it'll get lost in explanation. Cha, dot, 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 cha. What's missing? You are. As in, ch. Yeah? I kind of explained it away. Welcome, teaching, healing. It's good, isn't it? Welcome, teaching, healing. I like this one, and Mick might appreciate this one. Free wine on Sundays. That's going to be our slogan, free wine on Sundays. This is good. All start with the same letter. Repent, renew, rejoice. All for Jesus. It's a good one. Serving God and the community. Acceptance of each other. A lively, lovely church where things happen. It's a bit long, but it's good, isn't it? A lively, lovely church where things happen. Kind of has a rhythm to it. Love, welcome, save. Well, as a group, the kind of leading your church into growth group, which was about 12 of us, in the end, we were looking at all these words and trying to kind of bring it down into one simple thing. And this is what we came up with. St. Andrew's Church, loving and growing. So essentially two words, loving and growing. And they're deliberately broad. They're not specific about the detail of what we do. They don't even tell us really how we do it. It's just that's what we're about. We're about loving and we're about growing. And essentially, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? That's what it comes down to. It's all about how does Jesus tell us how we should live. Now that we know that we are saved, that we are redeemed, it's not just about what we're saved from, but what are we saved for? What adventure is God calling us onto? It's about loving and it's about growing. And we can explore these things a little bit further in order to think, well, what does that actually mean? But the purpose of loving and growing is that it's broad enough that anybody can understand it. So we try to avoid churchy words, like we might talk about encountering God's presence, which might mean a lot to us, but to somebody outside the church, doesn't really mean anything. Or we might talk about encountering the Holy Spirit or growing in missional discipleship, but actually that doesn't mean anything to people outside. So loving and growing are two words that anybody can understand what they mean. So that's why we went with those two words. But as we dig into them a bit deeper, we can see what they mean for us as a church. First of all, loving is the real essence of what Jesus tells us our life should be about. What does he say? He says, love God with everything you have. Love God with your heart, soul, mind and strength. Love God with everything you have and love others. That's what it boils down to, isn't it? And so that's the loving part. It's about loving God. It's about loving others. The second word, growing, is about growing in all aspects. About growing in faith, growing in hope, growing in love. So we grow in the hope that we have in Jesus' death and resurrection and what that means for us, what that means for the world around us. It's also about growing in numbers. Now, somebody said to me, when we started looking at all this leading your church into growth stuff, somebody said to me, oh, the problem is it's all about bums on seats. And if you think about that, you think, well, yeah, it kind of is, because those bums belong to people. Those people are made in the image of God. Those people need to know that they are children of God, that they're loved, that they're saved, and that God has a plan and purpose for their life. So, yes, it is all about bums on seats. Well, they can stand up or sit on the floor, but it's... So we nearly went with, for our slogan, for our church, we nearly went, your bum matters to God. But we decided not to, because when we thought about the logo and the bum, it just kind of went all a bit wrong. So instead, we went for loving and growing. So, phew, that was close. So it's about growing in numbers. And then this last one, I think, is really important. It's about growing disciples. Because as we've explored Scripture and what it says about growth in the church, is we recognize that Jesus, nowhere does he say, grow the church. Nowhere does he say, build big church buildings, go and plant other churches. Nowhere does he say, make sure you get loads of people coming to your services. He doesn't say that. He says, go and make disciples. That's what he tells us to do. Go and make disciples. So we need to grow in making disciples. We need to grow in discipleship. Now, I think that's one of the things that maybe we've lost focus on a bit in our church, and we need to get back on board with that. And I'm hoping to appoint somebody onto a kind of small staff team who can really oversee our discipleship, about how we do discipleship and how it works and how we can make it a focus for us as a church. So growing disciples. Okay, shape time. What shape is this? Well done, it's a triangle. Ted can now recognise it as a triangle, so I'm not that impressed that you can, but well done anyway. This is a triangle. When I read the Gospels, I see triangles. I don't know if that's true for anybody else, but maybe by the end of this talk, every time you read the Gospels, you read about Jesus' life, you might start to see triangles like I do. The reason I see triangles is because of this. When I look at the way Jesus lived his life, I recognize these three different dimensions to his life. And the first one is up. We read again and again in the disciples that Jesus took time away to be with God, his Father. He prioritized time with his Father, even though he had his disciples to look after and they kept getting things wrong and they kept misunderstanding things and he could have been spending a lot of time with them. And even though the crowds were there and there were lots of people who needed healing and he seemed to heal everybody he touched and there was so much need and so much injustice and so much poverty around him, still he took time to be with God his Father. We read that he goes onto a mountainside early in the morning. We read that he gets in a boat to get away from the crowds because he knows that he is sustained by his upward relationship with his Father. So that's the first direction that Jesus lives his life, the upward direction. Secondly, he has the inward dynamic, and that is with his disciples, this small group of believers that he chooses intentionally to invest time and energy in. He shares life with them. He eats with them. He sleeps at their houses. They do life together. They ask questions. He answers questions. They go out on boats. They eat meals together. They cook fish on the beach. They're his disciples, his friends, that close group of people. He gives time to them, even though there's all these people waiting to hear the gospel, waiting to be healed. He chooses to focus his time with those people. And then finally, the outward dynamic. This is Jesus's ministry and mission, when he goes and he teaches the crowds, when he heals people, when he feeds the hungry, when he's giving of himself in his ministry. But Jesus knows that in order to do that, he needs the other two dynamics as well. And he teaches his disciples that this is how you need to live. You need to keep these things in balance, because this is, if I'm right, it's a long time since I did maths at school, but this is an equilateral triangle. Is that right? We need to keep this equilateral triangle, otherwise we become obtuse. Because actually, for most of us, we find one of those things easier. Maybe we love coming to church and worshipping and spending time in prayer and reading our Bibles. We're good at that upward thing. But actually, we really struggle to open up with others in discipleship and fellowship. We don't like to do that. Or maybe we love to do that because we're really extrovert and we love talking about our faith and chatting with people. And so we do the kind of being a disciple, being in that small group. But we never do the outward thing, because that's kind of costly, you know, to go out and tell people about Jesus, or to visit the sick, or to feed the hungry. We're not very good at that. Or maybe we love doing that, as long as we don't have to talk about our faith, and as long as we don't have to pray, and you get the point. We need to keep these things in balance. So Jesus shows us how to live in this way, by this simple shape that we can remember, this up, in, and out dynamic. We can live that way. We also can see how our church needs to work in these three different dimensions. And so I thought, let's look at these two words, loving and growing, and see how we can love and grow with this Jesus way of life, this Jesus lifestyle that we see that Jesus has. So the up and in and out of loving. What's that all about? Well, our upward dynamic is about us as a church spending time in worship, in prayer, getting into God's word, and making sure that we're staying connected with God. That is crucial for who we are as a church. That's really important. Then we have our inward relationships with one another. We need to make sure that we're loving and caring for each other. Not just those that make it here on a Sunday, but those who are housebound. It's important that we care for one another in terms of pastoral care. And I'm hoping to appoint somebody who can be a pastoral coordinator, because there's so many people that need visiting and so much going on, and we don't know who's visiting who, or we don't want people to fall through the net, so we need to keep that work coordinated. But it's also true in small groups that we need to love one another. And that's a really important dynamic. So that's part of the inward, our relationships with each other. We need to make sure that we're doing that. And thirdly, outward, looking out beyond the church walls, to the people in our community, to the networks that we know further afield, to people on the other side of the planet. It's about our outward dynamic, about how we do mission and ministry outside the church. Now, the next step in terms of leading your church into growth, once you've got this kind of vision statement, you know what you're about, is to do a map, a mission action plan. And what they suggest is that you do... Oh, sorry, I haven't done that yet, have I? Growing. So loving, growing. Growing is about growing in faith, growing in our relationships, and growing in our mission. So it's those three dynamics worked out in how we grow the church. So that now we do our map, our mission action plan. And Leisig say that don't do a 10-year plan, just do a 2-year plan. Just look at the next 2 years and think, what are you going to do? What are you going to stop doing? What are you going to change? So that's what we're working on now. We're looking at the next 2 years and trying to put things in place. Now, part of doing this was about looking at what we already do. And we already do an awful lot, it turns out. So this is our ongoing local mission. This is just the local stuff, not the international stuff. This is just the local stuff. So we do Family Spot. We do Plus and Luncheon Club. We do Tuesday Group. We do Prayer on the Streets. We do Mother's Union. We do Sanctuary at Starbeck Primary School. We do Holiday at Home. We have the Welcome Centre. We visit Spa Muse and Belmont House. We do pastoral visiting. High Street Presence and Prayer on a Wednesday morning. We do lots of youth and children's work. And I'm sure there's something that I've missed that someone could come and tell me afterwards. But we do a lot of stuff, don't we? And one of the things that we might need to think about as a church is maybe we need to do less. Maybe we're doing a bit too much. For the size of our church, maybe we're doing a bit too much. Maybe there's something we need to stop doing or some things we need to stop doing. But we do a lot. But actually, another thing that we've noticed, and you've probably noticed this if you've been doing the Leisig material in your small groups, that there's something that we're missing as a church. Lots of churches who are doing Leisig will probably get to about this point in the process and we'll think, oh, what we need to do is something that would reach out to older people. Maybe if we started like a Wednesday morning group, you know, and then we did lunch after it, that would be great. We're already doing that. Or maybe we need to do a toddler group and then we can connect with the pet. We're already doing that. You know, there's so many things that we're already doing, but there is something that we're missing, I believe, and that's stepping stones. We're missing some stepping stones. We're missing those steps that would take somebody from being outside the church to coming into the family, to introducing them to Jesus, to giving them the opportunity to explore faith. So that's, I think, what we're missing. We're missing these stepping stones. I got a letter from the diocese, and it's got four questions for us. And one of the questions is, what inquiry course are you doing at the moment? The bishop wants to know that every church in the diocese is doing some kind of inquiry course, because they know that unless there's a way in for people to learn about faith, people aren't going to start coming to church. People aren't going to come to know Jesus. People aren't going to become disciples. So we're going to be starting Alpha. We're also going to be doing the step before that, which is a kind of event where people can come and people can have a good time, and it's something they want to come to, but also they can ask questions and find out a bit more about the Christian faith or be presented with the gospel in a relevant way. So our first event along those lines is called Pints of View, which is coming up on the 1st of April. Essentially, we asked people whose spouses don't come to church, what kind of event would your spouse come to or your partner come to? And they said, food and beer. So we're doing Pints of View. So they get to taste beer, you get to ask any question you want about faith, and I'm sure it's going to be a fun evening. And at the end of that evening, you get invited to come on Alpha, which starts 4 weeks later. So these stepping stones that we're going to provide for people to introduce people, because we can't force anybody into the kingdom, but we can invite people. That's what we need to do. We need to invite people. So that's going to be part of our mission action plan. Which brings us to this morning's reading. We find the church, the very early stages, and Peter is addressing the crowd, and he's telling them all about Jesus, about the fact that he's lived and died and risen again for them, and that nothing will be the same again. This changes absolutely everything. And the people hearing this say, what do we do? How do we respond? And this is what Peter says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So three things, essentially. Firstly, repent. Turn around. You've got to live differently now, because things have changed. Because this thing is no longer God's love for the special Jewish people who keep all the rules. This is God's love for everybody, even the people who don't keep all the rules, even the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the Samaritans, the people you think are the worst people. It's for them as well. And what you need to do is turn your life around. So if you're in the gutter, you need to turn your life around. If you're at the top of the pecking order, you've got all the money, all the respect, all the religious superiority, you need to turn your life around too. Because things are different now because of Jesus. So repent, turn around. And then secondly, he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. So you need to mark this in some way, because things are different now. You need to do something that says, I'm going to live my life differently now. He says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then thirdly, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Peter knows at this moment, when the church is just about to explode into growth, when over 3,000 people are about to be added, that the Holy Spirit is essential. We sang a song this morning at the 9 a.m. service that said, you've given us your Spirit until the work on earth here is done. And I think he's given us the Holy Spirit even beyond that. But it's crucial for this time when we've still got work to do, that God sends his Holy Spirit to live in us and amongst us, to equip us for the adventure that we get to be on with him. Because not only did he die and then rise again for us, but he then says, come on, come and join me as I bring heaven to earth. He shows us in his body what it looks like for heaven and earth to be together. And then he says, come on, come and join in. And that's what the church is. That's what we're about. That's what all this loving and growing is about. It's about being on that adventure with God. And I love what Peter says next to this crowd. He says, the promise is for you. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. The promise is for you. It's personal. It's personal. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for the generations that are to come after us. What kind of legacy are we leaving for the generations that come? How are we welcoming the little ones? Jesus made that point really strongly, that we need to welcome the little ones. We need to not put any stumbling blocks in their way. We need to love them and encourage them. We need to learn from them. The kingdom of heaven is theirs, Jesus says. And that needs to be a priority for us as a church. So it's for us, it's for your children, it's for all who are far off. And now to me, far off means, yeah, it means people who are far off the other side of the planet, but it also means people who live just around the corner from here, who we probably see as being far, far away from God. They seem to be in some kind of secular world, you know, with all their media and their gadgets, and it just seems like they're so far off to us, but they're not far off. God is closer than their breath. And it's for those people that God has placed a church right here on the high street in Starbeck. It's for those people that we're here. For those who seem like they're far off, but actually they're not. We just need to love them and invite them. And this loving and growing thing is also about the poor, I believe. I think that's something that we need to be mindful of. Jesus prioritized the poor above anybody else. And we need to do the same. How are we loving and serving the poor? Poor around the world and the poor in our community. I think we need to ask that question, and we need to work hard at finding out how we do that. How do we love and serve the poor as a church? So it's for you, it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you showed us in your life who you are, and that you showed us the way to live in relationship with our Heavenly Father, in relationship with other believers, and with a focus on those who do not yet know you, a focus on the poor, a focus on those in need. And Lord, would you help us as individuals and help us as a church to follow this pattern? Lord, you call us to make disciples, and we know that we need to learn how to do that. Lord Jesus, you equip us by sending your Holy Spirit. And we know that we need your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come. Fall upon your church. Prepare us and equip us. Fill us so that we can be sent out in your name. So we can live for you every day of the week. So we can see you at work, even in the most difficult and challenging of circumstances. That when it feels like things are falling apart, there is hope. Because of who you are, because of what you've done, because of what you are doing. Come, Lord Jesus, come and equip your church. That we may see your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.